This morning's scripture reading will be Matthew 21, 42 through 46, and I will be reading from an English Standard Version Bible. Jesus said to them, "Have you never read in the scripture, 'The stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone'? That was the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes. Therefore I tell you, the kingdom of God will be taken away from you and given to a people producing its fruits. And the one who falls on this stone will be broken to pieces, and when it falls on anyone, it will crush him." When the chief priests and the Pharisees heard his parables, they perceived that he was speaking about them. And although they were seeking to arrest him, they feared the crowds because they held him to be a prophet.
In 1959, I was a sixth grade student at South Main Grade School down in near Main, West Virginia. My father had taken a new job in Marietta, and my mother had applied too, but they didn't have any positions open for her. So Dad decided to go ahead and go, and Mom decided to go ahead and stay down in Main, Mallory area. And she kept three of us kids, my older sister, my younger brother, and myself. And my dad took my older brother with him because we three were angels and he wasn't quite an angel. And he needed a little bit more discipline than what we did because we were perfect children. But that year was hard. It was very difficult. We had, up to that time, not had very much money, and so our Christmases were always very, very sparse. Very, very few gifts underneath the tree, and we knew Mom and Dad did the best they could, but there weren't very many there. This particular year, Dad had made a little bit more money, and so they brought a carload of gifts back from Marietta back for Christmas that year. And each one of us had a pretty good-sized gift. And my brother knew what was in each one because he'd helped my dad buy them and helped my dad wrap them. Of course, he did all the wrapping. Dad didn't do any of the wrapping. And we had a kind of a tradition. It wasn't a necessarily family tradition, just something we did, and probably most of you do it as well. You try to guess what's in the package. And so for two or three days, we try to guess what was in each one of our packages. And I guessed and I guessed and I guessed. I was very impatient. I wanted to know. I always did. I remember my grandmother one time sending us gifts, and I sneaked in, unwrapped it, and see what it was about 4 or 5 days in advance. And I tried to wrap it back up, and I couldn't do it. It just wouldn't wrap back right. I couldn't get it back in. I thought, I'm in trouble. Mom, I don't think you ever knew that. You know it now. But anyway, this particular year, I kept guessing, guessing, guessing. My brother was getting tired of it. And he says, "Well, it's something when you open it just rolls out." And I said, "Slinky." And he said, "No, a sleeping bag." And I was 10 years old at the time. And the next month, January, I was going to be turning 11. That meant I got to join the Boy Scouts. And the Boy Scouts in Mallory was a very big thing. About every boy in the area was in Boy Scouts. And I wanted to be in it so, so badly. I knew the next month I was going to get to join. And that sleeping bag was going to come in handy camping. So I was really excited. I didn't see it yet, but I was really excited I was going to get a sleeping bag. That lasted about 10 or 15 minutes. And then I got very sad. And not because I was getting a sleeping bag, but because the surprise was spoiled for me. Now, I had done it. You know, I kept guessing and guessing and guessing, and I was an aggravation. I repented of that. I'm not anymore, am I? But anyway, but I kept getting, and I knew I brought that on myself, but I just pouted and pouted and pouted and pouted and pouted. Getting sympathy. "Oh, it's going to be okay, Everett. And we're sorry we spoiled it for you," and all this kind of stuff. Well, you know, I was getting attention. I love that. And so I went on and on. Finally, Dad got tired of it. And Dad said, "That's enough, Everett. Stop your pouting." Well, I wasn't ready to stop pouting. But my dad's tone of voice changed my mind. And I stopped pouting. But still, I was not excited, and the thrill was gone. I didn't enjoy opening that box because I already knew what was in it. I learned something that day that I gradually, it was a learning lesson that evolved over years. I learned that no matter what you get, enjoy and appreciate, and don't let others destroy your joy. Don't let others take away from the excitement of what you're feeling inside. And that's what my brother did. I allowed my brother to destroy the joy of something that I wanted so badly. And we do that, don't we? We get excited about something, then we let somebody else take it from us. Or we don't really appreciate what we get. We don't really enjoy what we receive. And there's a couple reasons that we don't. One is because it's not exactly what we wanted. It's not exactly the right color. It's not exactly the right size. And for some, it's not exactly the right brand. It's got to have that name on it. And because it's not the right color, not the right size, not the right brand, it's not exactly what I wanted. Now, if you've ever given a gift like that, and you watch that person open, and you're anticipating they're being surprised, they're being excited, they're really enjoying that, and you see this kind of a look of, what is this? Why did you get me this? This is not what I wanted. It hurts, doesn't it? Because you've spent a lot of time, a lot of effort, a lot of energy, a lot of thought into buying just that right gift, and you know that's not just that right gift for that person. It's just not to their liking. Not quite what they wanted. We understand that, don't we? If we've ever been on the giving end, we understand that. Then do we understand the pain that Jesus feels? His Father and He put an eternity into preparing just the right gift for us, the gift that we really needed. As Jesus came, His own received Him not. They had been working on this for an eternity. And eternity has no beginning, remember. Not just no end, but no beginning. This is their plan before they designed Adam and set him down here and Eve alongside of him. And before they chose Abraham and Isaac and Jacob to be the people through whom they were going to send Jesus into the world. Before all of that, they planned this. And then finally the day comes that Jesus is sent into the world and He grows up. And the very people that the gift was given to said, that's not what we wanted. That's not what we expected. That's not to our liking. He's not the Messiah that we anticipated. Some even said it's foolishness. The Gentiles. The Jews said that's a stumbling block because that's not the Messiah that would be a Messiah that could lead us. That's not who we really wanted. And we understand that, don't we? We can point the finger at the Jew and said, Jesus came to you, your own came to you, and you did not receive Him. But do we do that? That God does not give His stamp of approval of how we think life should be lived, and so we get upset. That's not exactly what I wanted, God. God, I prayed to you and I asked you for this, but that's not exactly what I wanted. It didn't come exactly wrapped up the way I wanted to be wrapped up. And when I opened it up, it wasn't exactly the thing that I wanted. God, this is going to cost me something. This is going to demand something on me. This is not what I wanted. How do you think God feels? When He has done all of that for us, and He has gone through all that He has gone through, and we say, well, I became a Christian, but that's not exactly what I wanted it to be. Or sometimes we'll say, as they did in the church at Corinth, I don't really appreciate what you're giving to me. There's a lot of trouble in that congregation, wasn't there? We studied that. 1 Corinthians, we looked at that a lot, how that they were mainly troubled about, well, jealousy was a big problem, and they were jealous over each one having a gift the other one didn't have, especially being able to speak in tongues. They were upset about that. They didn't get the gift they wanted. You ever feel that way? you see all your brothers and sisters and everybody opening the gifts, and they got what they want, but you don't get what you want. And as a matter of fact, you'd like to have what they've got. That's the church at Corinth. God gives them all these individual gifts, and some of them don't get this gift that attracts all the attention, speaking in tongues. It makes them feel so good, the speaking in tongues. Glossolalia. And Paul writes to them, and he says, God has placed the members, each one of them, in the body just as he desired. God gave you the gift he wanted to give to you. Maybe not be the gift you want, but the gift that he wanted to give to you. And he went through a lot of process to try to narrow down, what does this person really need? Here's what I want to give to them. And when we complain about that gift, or worse still, we don't use that gift. Do you ever give somebody a gift and they put it on the shelf? You come back the next year and it's still sitting there? Our daughter-in-law, the other day when they were home last weekend, told us that we'd given her a gift certificate a couple years ago. She's going through some boxes and she ran across that gift certificate about 2 weeks ago. And you think, you really didn't need it, did you? You really didn't want that, that's what you're thinking. But we decide on what gift to give them, and then they don't use it. God said, I gave you a special gift. I gave you the gift to make people laugh. I gave you the gift to sing. I gave you the gift to teach. I gave you the gift to make money. I gave you the gift to help other people, and you're not using it because it's not what you want to do. It hurts us when somebody doesn't use the gifts we give them. It hurts God when we don't use the gift that he gives to us. So Paul says, use that gift because it's from God. As James says in James 1 verse 17, every good thing given, every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shifting shadow. God doesn't change his mind. God doesn't go here and there all over the world like a shifting shadow does. He says he gives you the gift that he knows that you need the most. The gift he wants to give to you, not necessarily the gift that you want. If you've got a gift, folks, whatever it is, don't be just because somebody else has got a gift that you would like to have. Or your gift is not as good as somebody else's. Or maybe you have a gift now that you didn't used to have, or you used to have a gift that you'd still like to have, and you don't have that. Whatever gift God gives to you now, appreciate it, enjoy it, and use it for his glory. But other people say, well, it's not something that I really needed. Remember when our boys were in the 9th and 10th grade, something hits Dad's mind. Pretty soon, these boys are going to be leaving home. And these boys are going to need some tools. Because when I got married, I had no tools. I remember taking $27 down and buying a whole tool kit of tools. And they were nice tools. They were Stanley tools. And Stanley was a good product at that time. For $27, you could buy a lot. So I had this whole tool kit of tools, but I had to buy it on my own. I thought, well, I'm going to give my boys some tools. I'm going to start building a tool chest for them. And so I bought them each a socket set. I had the standard and the metric system in it. Bought them a couple screwdrivers. And I thought, well, that'll be a start, and I'll add some more each year. My boys open it, and they look. What's this? I said, that's a socket set. I don't need a socket set. And I'm thinking, that hurts. Because I rejected my gift. A couple years later, I bought them a toolbox and put some more tools in it. And they kind of laughed about that. Because we don't need any tools. We got Dad. Dad'll fix whatever needs to be fixed that he's able to fix. Now, I know some of you don't think I can fix anything. I don't like it that way because you don't call me for anything. But there are certain things I can do. There are certain things. I do have some tools. I remember one brother said one time, he says, tools in your hand are a dangerous weapon. Well, I can do some things. And I can do some things to satisfy my boys, take care of whatever need to be fixed. Do you know what my 41-year-old son wanted this year for Christmas? A socket set. And some open and close wrenches. After he opened them, he was looking at them, and he was thrilled. I have never given him a gift that he liked as much as those tools. He's looking at his wrench. This is the second day after he got them. He was looking over and examining them, and he never did any gifts like that. Except a silver trumpet we got him one time. But he said, can you believe that I've been married for 20 years and I don't have any wrenches? And I'm thinking, Derek, you could have had some wrenches a long time ago if you would have appreciated what I was giving to you. You see, sometimes we get things that we don't think we need and say, I don't really need that. But when in reality, we do. Joseph is one of my favorite stories. Love him. Love his story. A lot happened in Joseph's life that we can identify with. At the end of Joseph's relationships with his brothers, when they've come back, the end of the whole 22 years, there's what I'm talking about. When they were afraid that he was going to seek vengeance once Dad's dead. And he was dead now. Joseph said no. He said, you meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. That he may bring about this good thing that's happened, that he may save many people. So Joseph saw God's hand in all of that. We go back into the introductory chapter, that whole process of where he is sold into slavery and where he is sold down into Egyptian slavery eventually from the Midianites. Four different times it says God was with Joseph. God was with him. Four different times. And Joseph many times could recognize God's hand in what he was doing, like when he's talking to Pharaoh, God's giving the interpretation of these dreams. But when you look at Joseph's life, I can't help but ask, did Joseph always see God's hand in everything that was going on? Did Joseph always recognize, this is what I need? I kind of doubt that he did. Over 22 years, I don't think Joseph, every time that God did something in his life, said, thank you, God. This is good. I really need this. In the end, he did, but I wonder about throughout his life. Let's look at James, the first chapter, verse 2 through 4. James chapter 1, verse 2 through 4. James says, consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance, and let endurance have its perfect result, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. Our gifts always, or rather, our problems always gifts. Sometimes they are. And James says they are. Let's go back to 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Listen to Paul talk about his problems. Begin with verse 7, 2 Corinthians 12, verse 7. And because of the surpassing greatness of the revelations, for this reason, to keep me from exalting myself, there was given me a thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to buffet me, to keep me from exalting myself. Concerning this, I entreated the Lord three times that it might depart from me, and he has said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for power is perfected in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, I will rather boast about my weaknesses, that the power of Christ may dwell in me. Therefore, I am well content with weaknesses, with insults, with distresses, with persecutions, with difficulties, for Christ's sake. When I am weak, then I am strong. Paul, were your problems a gift from God? I think Paul would say, yes, they were. Because they helped me to realize my need for God. Back early in the next book, in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, indeed we have had sentence of death within ourselves so that we would not trust in ourselves, but in God who raised the dead. Folks, listen to me. We complain about difficulties we go through and problems and situations not to our liking. Well, do we understand that sometimes those difficulties, those things we don't like, those things we don't enjoy, can in reality be a gift from God? Of God saying to us, you may not recognize the fact that you need this. You may not want this. But I need to give it to you. And in the end, you will see that you also needed it. So how does God feel? How does God feel when we reject his gifts? We looked in our scripture reading earlier, Matthew 21, verse 43. Therefore, I say to you, the kingdom of God will be taken away from you and given to a people producing the fruit of it. Back in Matthew's 10th chapter, verse 7 and 8, he says, freely you've received, freely give. And then in verse 14, he says, when you go into the city or to a house, either one, he says, and they refuse your message, he says, you shake the dust off your feet and you can move on. And Paul encountered that when he went into Antioch Pisidia. On one Saturday, he preached this sermon, and it was a powerful sermon about how that God had sent his son, and how the son had died for us, and how he's raised from the dead. And people were so enthralled with that, he said, come back next Saturday, the next Sabbath. We want to talk to you some more about that, and we want to hear some more from you, what you had to say about this. And so a week passed, and Paul did. Paul went back in the synagogue the next Saturday. And here's what happened. Acts chapter 13, verse 44. The whole city assembled to hear the word of the Lord. I don't think that's an exaggeration. The whole city was there because the word had gotten around. This man has something to say to us that's very special. In verse 45, when the Jews saw the crowds, they were filled with jealousy and began contradicting the things spoken by Paul. They were blaspheming. Now look at what Paul says. Paul and Barnabas spoke out boldly and said, it was necessary that the word of God be spoken to you first. Since you repudiate it and judge yourselves unworthy of eternal life, behold, we are turning to the Gentiles. How does God feel when we reject his gifts? How does God feel when we turn up our noses because it's not quite to our liking? It's not what we feel like we need, what we want. If we persist in that, God says, I will turn away from you. And I'll let you live however you want to live. I'll let you use whatever I have given you, however you want to use it. But I want you to remember something. Some of these days, you and I will face each other one more time. And you're going to have to answer for how you used what I gave to you. So I hope that we will indeed appreciate what God has given to us. And appreciate all of our gifts. Because the lack of appreciation is upsetting and discouraging. It may not be exactly what we want. It may not be exactly what we feel we need. But accept it. With appreciation. Whether it's from your mother, your father, your brother, your sister, your children, and most importantly, the greatest gift of all is Christ. There's that great passage in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. The greatest gift of all. It may not be, he may not be exactly what you think he should be. He may make demands on you that you feel are unfair. But he knows what we need better than we do. And he knows what demands need to be made on us more than what we do. It may not be what we feel we want, what we feel we need. But God says, you need this, and I want to give it to you. This morning, he wants to give you that gift. Will you accept it? You need him. Even though you don't realize it, you need him. Will you accept him? Will you come forward this morning accepting Christ as the Son of God and confessing him as that? Repenting of your sins and putting him on in baptism so those sins can be forgiven, so that indeed he can come to your life and give you the fullness of life, give you that fullness that nobody else can give to you and nothing else can give to you. Or this morning, if you've taken that gift but you're not using it, instead, you're hurting him. You're using it against him. You want to turn your life back over to him and start using the gifts that he gave to you for his glory and not for your own, and definitely not for Satan's. Will you rededicate your life this morning? Or this morning, if you're struggling with something, you want us to pray with you, we'll be glad to pray with you. Whatever your need is, let us know it, whatever it is, as together we stand.